Welcome to the Journey of a Christian Dad podcast. I'm your host, Dan Lewigs. Who is the spiritual leader of your family? Is it you, your pastor, your spouse, the media? Do you know? I did, and sadly, no one was taking responsibility to lead our family. Well, friends, someone needs to take that job, and that man is you. You may not feel qualified, and some days I don't. With the help of God and a community of dads helping each other on their journey, you can be the leader your family deserves. We welcome you to the Journey of the Christian Dad podcast. All right, guys, I've been waiting for this one literally for years. And so is Nick. So, guys, we're going to jump in. We're going to have a fun conversation today about, it's the title of the episode, The Sex Talk. Like, what does that mean? And like, it's got so much... wrapped up in it and everything else. So we've got Nick Liberto here, who is just collaborated with so many experts on the sex talk and has just got a wonderful resource for all of us to use and navigate and share with others and everything else. So Nick, let's jump in. Before we go there, who's Nick?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be here, Dan. You are right. It's been years in the making. Two, 3 years ago, we're hanging out by a fire and you were like, I need to have you on my podcast. And we've hung out since. And it's just, the stars aligned and I'm honored to be here. Who is Nick? I'm the executive director of a nonprofit called Proven Ministries. I have been for the last 8 years. I am married with 2 children and a little baby girl on the way, due in June. I live in Lynchburg, Virginia. My wife works for Liberty University. So I love where I live. I love the mountains. I love the rivers. I'm an outdoorsy guy. And one of my favorite things to do right now is hang out with my boys in the backyard as it starts to get warmer. And we've been digging in the dirt and playing with sticks. And I'm teaching them how to pick up sticks in the yard so we can make fires in the evening. So anyway, life is good. And I'm honored to be here, man. I'm honored to hang out with you.
What does your wife do at Liberty University?
So she has some fancy title that I can never get right around doing everything with students who travel. So she is the number 2 for all of the students traveling all over the world. So okay. LU Send is the department, and she's been with Liberty now for 9, almost 10 years. And she is in the Office of Spiritual Development. So all the student trips, actually a bunch of them right now are getting back from spring break. So she was putting out fires because there were flights and people in airlines that were rioting and shutting down flights and transferring students in different countries. And that's what she does for a living. So it's cool because we got to go to Israel a couple years ago. I get to tag along as the spouse every now and then to the cool trips. And that was one I got to do. And we've been to a couple other cool places because of her job. So yeah, that's what she does.
That's great. And then you're super good friends with Kent Evans, The Manhood Journey.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Kent is a great friend. I've known Kent, 3-4 years, about as long as I've known you. We also met at the same place, the Fatherhood Commission. And Kent and I, ironically, also connected around the fire. And he was talking about social media, and my ears perked up, and we're both kind of like social media tech nerds in all the right kind of ways in the nonprofit industry. And so we just became tight friends. And now I have the honor of serving on his board and helping him advance Manhood Journey and their ministry as well.
So back when I started looking up Christian dads, there really wasn't much out in the space. And Manhood Journey was one of the only things I found. It wasn't one of the first things I found. It was one of the only things I found. And I received an email from Kent. He's like, hey, man, I've been checking your podcast out. And like on. I'm like, Kent Evans? He's Manhood Journey. Like, can't be that guy. And right underneath his name, it says Manhood Journey on his email, signature
thing. That's awesome.
I'm like, that's so weird. Like, I know about Kent Evans with Manhood Journey. I wonder who this guy is.
And he's sure seems like he's the same fun guy that you'll ever meet once you get to know him. And he's just so much fun to play with. So yeah, Kent's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. We had one of the most fun dinners I've ever had in my life. I was just telling Travis Abrams, who came up from Mississippi to come see me. And I'm like, dude, we ate the same restaurant. And I said, we're eating right over there. And the next morning I woke up and I thought to myself, man, so-and-so was so drunk. We had so much fun. And I go, wait, I wasn't drinking. I don't drink anyway. I'm like, but he wasn't drinking and he wasn't drinking. I went around the table and I was like, there wasn't anybody drinking. I go, not only was there nobody drinking, there was a full stocked mafia bar right behind us. I go, not only was no one drinking, there wasn't even the conversation about are we drinking or are we not drinking. When the waitress says, what are you guys having to drink? It was water and iced tea all the way around the board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's amazing to be around a group of guys and to have that much fun and not a drop of alcohol to be found and not even have the conversation of it. Not some of the guys were drinkers, but they just chose not to drink that night, not for any particular reason. Like, we just had a blast.
Sure.
So, Kent, that's you're awesome. Right. He's hilarious. He's so much fun. He's got so much energy, man.
I know. It's like Energizer Bunny when I'm with him. I don't know where he gets it from, but man, if for him, it serves him as the executive director because he can just go and go and go with Manhood Journey. So it's really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. I still feel bad. I was supposed to connect with him one day, and there's a new movie coming out in the fall, maybe winter, called On Fire with John O'Leary. And it was filmed here in St. Louis, and I've gotten to know John really well over the years, and it's New York Times bestselling book. But as we're supposed to connect, I'm literally on set and they're filming a scene and I've got the headphones on and I'm piped into the director and all the stuff. And I'm kind of stuck in a spot where I'm at. And one of the superstars had just shown up and Kent's like, hey, are we still meeting? Like, I can meet now. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure he understood.
He totally did. But I still feel bad about that. Kent's awesome. So let's jump in. So
yeah.
You, outside looking in, you run Proven Ministries. You've got the sextalk.com, awesome course. A guy might think, man, this guy is like the smartest, most intelligent guy. He's like always been like doctorate level. And then you had a construction company prior to all this.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So guys, when you're thinking, this guy's too smart and blah, blah, blah. Construction company. So this is a guy that got out of high school and all that and got into construction of all things before getting into this. So we're not talking to somebody in an ivory tower.
Oh, absolutely. No, I am just like everybody else. And actually, even more so, you don't end up as the executive director of a purity ministry without decades of debauchery. And so I have my own sexual debaucherous story that is just like everybody else in our culture and world today. I am not ivory tower anything. The fact that I have the job that I have is the most irony of ironies, and God gets all that glory. And it's just him giggling up there because
I'm giggling here because I didn't know about the debauchery in your in
oh
your
yeah
past.
You don't end up the executive director of a
hey go get your wife let's that. Bring her on real quick too.
Well, praise the Lord, a lot of it, almost all of it, was before her. But yeah, so got out of college. I've always been known as jack of all trades, king of nothing. So my father raised me that way. I mean, my parents are still together to this day, but my dad was, you know, worked with his hands a lot, and he was a veterinarian, and I've had every job under the sun, fast food, ice rink, construction. I mean, the most diverse things. And I was partner of a construction company, I guess this would have been 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago. After college, here's another part of the story. I, in undergrad, studied to be a spy. My degree was strategic intelligence. I spent many months studying Russian in Moldova, and I spent a bunch of years after college trying to get into any of the three-letter intelligence agencies. God did not refused to open up any of those doors, and so that's how I ended up and landed in construction. And so, yeah, wild story. My story is a meandering river of all over the place. Jack of all trades, king of nothing. But I actually like to say that the skills that I learned that I wanted to use in espionage actually are very helpful and fruitful in kingdom nonprofit work, because I don't see walls. I don't see things that can't be crossed. Everything's solvable. There's a way to achieve, you know, and really that's the nature of a spy, is to get through walls, get through barriers and borders. And so, I don't know, it's fun because I like to talk about it, but that's how it helps me in my work in nonprofit faith-based space. So, yeah.
You say everything's solvable. A buddy of mine says everything is figure outable.
Same, exactly the same. And the second your brain unlocks like that, it's wild. Like, anything is possible. And that's, you know, sure, you might be able to be born with that, but it also can be trained that, like, yeah, anything's solvable.
Yes, Yeah, 100%. So something that I've worked on over the years is gratitude. And I was highly connected to the St. Louis Rams. Some people might not know that St. Louis actually had a football team because the NFL's whitewashed the St. Louis chapter of the St. Louis Rams when they were the greatest show on turf, including omitting some of editing some of Orlando Pace's Hall of Fame speech. They took out a couple of minutes when he mentioned anything about St. Louis. The only one edited. So FYI. And so I was real connected. And then I get an ESPN alert that says that St. Louis Rams are gone. It's official. It's Los Angeles. And it was kind of blindsided out of nowhere. We all knew that, you know, none of us were fans of the owner because we all suspected he was doing something, even though publicly he was saying he wasn't.
Sure.
And my first thought is, oh my gosh, I'm so mad. My second thought was, oh my gosh, all my buddies are going to call me and we're going to get mad together. Mm-hmm. And then what can we do after that? Well, we can be mad for months.
Sure.
And that's not what I want to do or who I am or any of that type stuff. I'm like, well, how can I combat that? And I'm like, well, I'll be grateful for it. And this is where everything's figure outable or, you know, everything you can solve for. And I thought, how can I be grateful for this? And my first thought was that's impossible. So where you come to unlocking that was, well, that wasn't the assignment. The assignment was, how can I be grateful? Like, all right, I'll try. And instantly, as soon as, like you use the word unlocked, as soon as I unlocked that and I was willing to try, like a lightning bolt, it came down. I was in the right place at the right time, at the right age, around the right people who needed my skill set to help them achieve what they wanted to achieve. And I got to be behind the scenes, in the locker room, go to Marshall Faulk's retirement party, like Super Bowl parties, everything. I got to witness it firsthand. I got to watch the families grow. Anyway, it was fantastic. However,
that's amazing.
Oh, it was. And 10 years later, I get to talk to Carla Holt, Tori's wife, and she says, hey, how'd you solve that? I said, well, it's interesting. I'm interested to hear your guys' story because like this severely injured you guys too, I'm sure. And she goes, well, tell me your story. And I told her and she goes, that's what we did too.
That's amazing.
Because they're very positive people and Carla's extremely faith-based. And so part of my Christian story, I can lend towards her because she was always, you know, blessing me and praying. And I just loved her faith that she had about her that came from her upbringing, parents and everything. And with that, I got to see like their kids grow up, which was so cool. And I got to see how they parented and, you know, parented as a very famous people wherever they went. Mm-hmm. People sort of knew who they were, or at least when Tori was around, and walked through that as they tried to stay humble and tried to keep things from their kids, from the celebrity, you know, side of things and all that. And so I started thinking about how am I going to parent my own kids. And along the way, and I was nowhere close to having kids back then. And along the way, this sex talk thing, you know, you hear about it when you're a kid, you hear about it, you know, all of your life. And many of us thought, well, that's a singular, isolated event. I just was interviewing Patrick Morley. So he was on the previous episode. And in his book, he wrote like a absentee or passive parent, flipped a brochure to the kid at 14 years old and says, hey, there's some stuff in here. You should read it. And that was the sex talk for that kid.
Was that Patrick's sex talk? Is that what his experience was?
Maybe it was, but he didn't say that. It was just a story in his book.
Okay.
I didn't ask him that. I didn't ask him that. But this was a story that I took out of his book. And I'm like, how funny that could be somebody's sex talk. Or what a lot of parents do is just ignore the whole thing. Like, kids will figure it out. So with that, I just want to open it up. How'd you get into the sex talk industry?
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say even before we go there, Dan, I would love to hear if you're willing to share it.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your experience with the sex talk? And then I'll share mine.
Yeah, yeah. So throw me on the spot without really thinking of it and being prepared. I definitely got the Christian side of it. The, you know, don't have sex before marriage. It's good if you don't.
Yeah.
Don't look at porn. It's bad. Mm-hmm. What's porn? I already knew.
Okay. That's an important, how old were you when you already knew?
Oh gosh, probably 10 or 11.
Which will inform this conversation, but yeah, that's important. Yeah. Yep.
Probably 10 or 11. You know, back then everybody had clubhouses somewhere and some kids' clubhouses were stocked with things that there's no reason that they should have had access to.
Sure. And no reason you should have been exposed to such things at such
No,
a young age,
absolutely
but
not. Yeah, absolutely not. But yeah, that wasn't sure what exactly I was looking at that age. But yeah.
yeah, I would say mine is very similar as well. I still remember driving in the car with my father, looking out the window and him saying something, and it had something to do with the sex talk, and it was something about how biological parts worked. And yeah, like, bless my parents, they tried their best. I think, again, I do give my parents a huge pass. I give a lot of parents a huge pass when the internet was invented, because there was a large generational gap where my dad's generation, you to find hardcore pornography, one, it was primarily 90% only images, and you would have had to go to a magazine stand, a gas station, a corner store. You would have had to fork up money for it at that point. And that in at that time, those images were semi-covered, blocked. It was it. You knew you were going to that place to get it. And so when that generation has children, they are not ready, and really, really don't know what they need to do to equip and prepare their children for the age of free porn on the internet and the smartphone. And so yeah, I got the same kind of sex talk, and I'm excited to give parents today, millennial parents primarily, because I'm 36, so I'm a millennial. There might be a few generation behind me that are, active parenting still, but primarily we're the millennials that are having kids right now, and those younger than us. Like, how do we raise our children, equip our children around the sex talk in this wildly sexually saturated world where you can't not see it at crazy early ages? And so that's, yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. I'm excited to hear how you have done it with your kids. I'm excited to share, what I was telling you before we got online here, that literally this morning with my 3-year-old, and it's fascinating to watch his brain process this. He we're just, changing his diaper, and I didn't even start this. He randomly said, "Daddy, girls have vaginas and boys have penis." And I said, "Yeah." And like, literally at his age, he's saying girls, and I'm like teaching him how to pr enunciate and pronounce the word girl. So we're like simultaneously working on our words while giving him the tools to know about men and women and their body parts. And he's like, "So mommy and grandma have a vagina." But he'll and for people listening that are squirming right now, welcome to the conversation. We can say these words. He's not even using like the V word. He's using B. And so I'm enunciating and teaching him how to like actually say the right word. And so this will begin our conversation of the sextalk.com, the honor of the job that I have to do, and this video course resource is really just to equip parents to destigmatize this entire thing, because God made it and it is beautiful, and there is no reason we can't appropriately engage these conversations with our children. And that was what I was doing with my 3-year-old, who is in no way harmed by the word vagina and penis. And actually, in our course, we teach this. He is not only is he not harmed, he is equipped, and he is actually more protected. Because in the course, in the video course, there are some horror stories of young children that did not even have the anatomical terms to be able to use them with their parents. And so they would use words like, "I didn't like it when the 15-year-old babysitter poked me with his stick." And because they did not give their child those words, abuse took place way longer than it should have. So I'm protecting my child because he knows already at 3 years old, there are only a small group of people that can change his diaper, that touch his penis when they're cleaning him, that boys and girls have these different body parts. And so I'm already giving him the ability to share something uncomfortable that might be happening to him. And we're engaging this conversation. And he's 3. I have 20 more years with him before you know, he's done having all these conversations. So the sextalk.com, I'm just excited. I'm excited to hear your thoughts having dived into some of the course. And yeah, just for everyone listening right now, like you might have a 16-year-old and you might be thinking, it's too late. I am starting too late. You're not. You're really, you never are. And we can get into those details, of course. But I, in a perfect world, want parents to start as early as possible. We encourage around the age of 6. In my family, I'm giving him anatomical words at 3. And that's okay.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. So what I was surprised about, and I don't know what age I discovered this, probably before I was a parent, but I can't even remember. But as we were growing up, when we were younger, people talked about the birds and the bees and the talk. Mm-hmm. You didn't say the sex talk. You just said the talk. Everybody knew what the talk was. And that gave me the thought process that it was a single conversation at the age of 12 years, 3 months, and 6 days, or whatever time it was as a parent that you decided, today's the day. We're going to have the talk. And then we're never going to talk about it again. And, mm-hmm. you know, it'll be like religion and politics and, you know, the, sure. the sex, you know, you're not supposed to talk about any of that stuff at work. So as a parent, you know, have the one talk and done, and we'll put this back, you know, on the bookshelf, but we'll put it in a safe and we'll hide it away and never speak about this one again until the next kid comes of age.
Yeah. And that, I think.
And then the siblings can then talk about it at will, sure. but no longer any parents are involved.
And I mean, if you think about it, like, yeah, I guess there might be some reality to at some point having a talk about how, well, you know, the birds and the bees, that generally referred to where babies come from. Now, I still would argue it is, you know, a huge disservice to your children just to even have one talk about that. But in general, you know, pick another thing in this world that you only have one talk about and then you're good to go. Right. I'll wait. You can't. Right. There's right. nothing. Right. There is nothing. So yeah, why man. The most important thing designed by God did I, and I would actually argue there's a very good argument that this is one of the enemy's moves. This is yes. one of his yes. plays was I'm going to convince them that they can do this with a talk, with one talk, and then they think it'll be all okay. And I think they were duped. The world, the culture, everybody was duped into believing that. And unfortunately, that has caused much harm.
100%. So it was like, oh, wow. So these conversations can start at younger ages. And it's not the talk, and it's age appropriate. Like you're, you know, working with your son, you've decided at a certain age, we're going to talk about certain things and, you know, kind of leveling up or paying attention to your kids and knowing and being equipped and prepared and ready for conversations. So that's something that I've loved as a parent is learning my kids and being steps in front of him or in my case, daughters, being steps in front of them so that when the time comes or when they bring a topic to me and say, hey, Dad, I know this, or they say something like completely out of the blue, like, huh. So funny. I remember talking to Nick about that about 6 months ago, or I remember being in Nick's course and learning about this exact topic. And I thought, when am I ever going to need to know about this today, right now, this second?
And you were ready. Yeah.
You know, hey, God, help me remember that and help me engage this conversation, or at least give me the wisdom to know when to pull back and to circle the wagons and, you know, get the resources I need to dive back in.
Absolutely. And that's honestly, that was the momentum or the rationale for when we built this thing 2 years ago was people kept asking me because we have other curriculum for individuals that struggle with pornography, lust, masturbation, etc. And they kept asking me to make curriculum for younger and younger children. And that goes back to your story of, you know, being exposed to hardcore pornography at the age of 10. And people were like, Nick, do you have anything for my 12-year-old? Nick, do you have anything for my 11-year-old? Nick, do you have anything for my 10-year-old? And I was like, our curriculum works really well with 13 and up. That doesn't mean it will not work for a younger child. But I said, no more. I am not continually making curriculum for younger and younger children that are addicted or struggling with pornography. We have to get mom and dad in this game. We have to get them on the offense. Our curriculum plays really good defense It's really good at pulling people out of the mess. But now with the sextalk.com, we're saying, hey, mom and dad, please, for the love of God, if you're listening, please get to your children before I have to help them when they're 23, newly married, fully addicted to pornography and cheating on their wife. Because I don't have enough hands. And we want to equip our children to thrive in this world. And therefore, we must do that without a single talk, with hundreds of talks. As Kent would say, from 6 to 16 plus years old, we're having age-appropriate talks with our children around sex, sexuality, and everything in between. So that when our children are exposed to pornography, because it is not an if, it is a when, your child, no matter their age, they're going to be exposed to it. I mean, you can't prescribe it. The current average age of exposure is 8 years old. So God forbid you're listening right now and you have an 8, 9, 10-year-old. They will, if not already, have seen pornography. Are they ready? Are they equipped? Have you had many conversations with them so that they know the second that happens, they can come and say, hey, dad, this happened. I saw this today, and this made me feel really uncomfortable. Like, that's it.
So you mentioned that. There's two things that you just said that I want to go over. We'll hit on that one first. So I've got a neighbor, extremely vigilant, loving family, great dad, like pours everything into his kids, learns everything he can learn about being the greatest dad ever, teaches other guys. And he says, hey, I'm crushed. I said, what happened? He says, you know how we got digital devices and you know how I got everything locked down and like, I'm all over it. Like I spent so much time knowing, you know, I've got older boys. I said, where are you going with this? I'm like, this sounds heavy. He goes, my 8-year-old says, daddy, there's naked people on my tablet.
That's horrible.
Daddy, make them go away. What do you mean? He's like, you know, there'll be some bikini people or whatever. He goes, no. It was naked people. It was, I don't know how that happened. It, with the filters and everything else, it was impossible. And he wasn't on something that took him to something. He was, you know, playing a 6-year-old video game or, you know, whatever it was. He was not in that, I'm like, dude. So that, you know, that's had him torn up for a long time, you know, months and months and months. So it still haunts him that could have happened.
And did happen. And I mean, praise that his 8-year-old son said, hey, daddy, there's naked images. Like that's a good thing. Like in a horrible situation, in a world we wish we could change, that's the best scenario, is he comes and says, hey, dad, this is happening. Because then mom and dad can be there every step of the way. And it doesn't have to be this horror story. Like there is no reality where this 8-year-old is now screwed for life. Sorry, pardon my language.
Absolutely. As parents, that's the emotion that comes out of us. Like we got.
But I get that emotion. Kids. But yeah. I think there's a gift there, because that is a lie, and you can walk with that 8-year-old, and he's not going to have his brain rewired. We're not talking about neuroplasticity and hardcore addiction to pornographic images. Like this can be a perfect time to talk about how God made the human body and how Satan takes something good God made and twists it.
Mm-hmm.
What a time for that conversation. Eight's a perfect time to start there. There you go. And that's what the sextalk.com wants to be encouraging and teaching, you know, parents to do, is like, how do we make lemonade with these lemons that are everywhere? Because you can't live in this world today with gender confusion, the LGBTQ+ narrative, the earlier and earlier ages your children are going to be exposed to alternative worldviews and ideas around sex and sexuality. Like you have to be giving them, what is the godly response? What does God say about this? How did God make us? And if you're not giving them that, then they will create their own worldviews from that which they're steeped in culture.
So I want to talk about that more, but I want to back up.
Yeah. Sorry.
There, you said something and there were some guys that were listening and I felt them squirming in their chairs and then they went, oh good. They moved on. So what you said was the 23-year-old gets married, addicted to porn, cheating on their wife. And I wanted to stop on that for just a minute, because I don't think what you meant by cheating on their wife was going out of their house and hooking up with a chick at a bar or meeting a chick online and going and doing something physical with somebody. You meant they're cheating on their wife with a, you know, a flat screen image, you know, recorded, not even a live, you know, like this type cheating on a person that doesn't even know that you're viewing them, or, you know, multiple people or whatever it is that you're, that person's into. Like, you're talking about just digital stuff, digital porn. Like,
here's a word right? for you. Digital infidelity.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's What's physical the infidelity. There's digital infidelity. It all is broken and horrible and wrong and hurts our spouse.
Hey, Nick, I'm not doing anything physical. You know, it's just on my phone. You, like, it's just digital infidelity. Like, I mean, you know, it's not real.
It is marking and harming your soul and equally the unity with your spouse. And the short version is you don't get a pass. There might be, you know, different scales. Like, we're not talking about this is the same thing as murder. There is still murder is still worse than other sins, but this is equally digital infidelity, and it's not okay. And yeah, if you are listening and you are there, guess what? That's what I do for a living. 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, full time for 8 years. And so provenministries.org, come on over. We'll help you. Guess what? We have done it with over 5,000 men. So we got you, and you can trust us. But we have curriculum for that. We'll put you in a small group. We'll connect you with other guys. You are not alone. Unfortunately, I just was, the Epic Times did an interview with me last week. Because Dallas Jenkins, wow, yeah. This actually works really well for this story. Dallas Jenkins confessed. He didn't even confess. He was just talking about how in his past, he was having an interview about The Chosen, season 4. And he said in his past, he had been addicted to pornography. And a small part of the world started to freak out because how is it possible that the creator of The Chosen could have ever struggled with pornography. I was asked, how is it possible that he's Christian and struggles with pornography? And I said, guess what? We're all human, and Christians have the same fleshly struggles as non-Christians. So we don't get a pass. We still, but we do have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We do have what I would argue is more than the secular world around us as a means for freedom and to freedom. We can see the life that Jesus lived here on earth and how he was tempted and yet he did not succumb and fall. And so, yeah, like you're not alone. You don't have to feel alone, but it's still not okay to stay there. You cannot stay there.
I don't know a story that includes porn that has ended well. I've been around Christians and non-Christians. And as they tell me, oh, no, it's great. It's good for my marriage, and it's good for this, and it's good for this, and it doesn't hurt anybody. And as they talk through it, I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I don't believe any of that's true, and I haven't seen that to be true. And in other, you know, studies that I've read and blah, 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 and they'll support, and, you know, they're obviously totally convicted in their opinion, and I'm not going to be the one that changes it, but I can stand up and let them know that, you know, if they have more questions about anything, you know, I'm here to talk to them in the future. But like they're staunch, and there's some people listening right now that are like, nah, it's good. It helps. Me and my wife have a lot more fun, whatever. And I've seen that story play out time and time again. It's like, just wait a year, wait 2 years, wait 5 years. They won't be married anymore. Mm-hmm. They will separately confide in their, you know, closer people in life that, man, I'm miserable. At some point they'll get to the end and they're like, I give up. Like, this is terrible. What do I do? How do I get out of this? How do I change my life? When people, this is me going on a little bit of a rant, but when I see husbands and wives, husbands especially, pour their sexual energy or direct their sexual energy only to their wife, and not allow these other outlets to take some of that sexual energy or direct your energy somewhere else, you focus on your wife, you think about your wife, you love your wife, you cherish your wife, and you become more intimate with your wife, your sex life becomes better, not worse.
Absolutely. And as it was designed.
Yes.
I think even at the beginning, we should just acknowledge that, like, everything around pornography, it's not real. Like, it is all a lie. And I mean, that's the beginning of the slippery slope. And so everything erodes after that.
So we were talking, I didn't want to sidetrack us. I bounced us backwards because some guys were like, thank goodness they kept talking. I don't want to let you off
good.
the, I don't want to let you guys off the hook. So we're talking about kids, digital infidelity. Gosh, we're talking.
Well, I mean, it was we were just getting further into the details of the sex talk with, you know, age appropriate conversations, yeah. And your younger and younger children getting exposed. And
Children getting exposed. Yeah. So yes, yeah. So having those conversations at 3, 4, 5, 6, and just mm-hmm. building the language, building the connection. Like, this is a normal thing that I talk about with my parents at the age appropriate level. So in my neighbor's case, the kid was ready. Hey, Dad. Something's up, red flag on this one. I know this isn't right. Where a different kid that doesn't have that connection with their parents rolls with it. And then the internet does what the internet does. If you click on it, it feeds you more of it. As your mind focuses on something, it expands and grows. And you're talking neural pathways and elasticity, plasticity, all the neurons and all that. They do build on itself. So, yeah, you know, it's like, it is important at the younger ages, even though you think that it's not, to start those conversations.
Well, that's actually interesting that you say that, because I would completely agree with you, Dan. And that's actually probably one of my biggest, I won't use the word frustrations, but discomforts right now, is I'm still encountering the majority of parents saying, we still have time. I have time.
Yes, yes.
We still have time. And
30 years ago, maybe we did.
Maybe.
30 years ago, maybe we did. These days, we really don't. Like, and schools are starting to filter this stuff to our kids at younger and younger ages. I saw a book that haunts my mind to this day. Parents were talking about it. I was like, there's no way. This is not in an elementary school. This is not in a kindergarten setting. No way. And opened the book and looked, and I said, oh my gosh, this is a book about adults grooming kids mm-hmm. and then showing kids how to have sex acts. And it was in cartoon form, so I guess that's what makes it okay. However, it was as graphic as any graphic, you know, pornographic material you could see. The only difference was it was cartoons.
Mm-hmm. And I know which book you're talking about. I agree. I
ask a local politician, they're calling me, hey, can we get your vote? And I said, yeah, I just have one question. What do you think about this book? And the politician, it wasn't the actual politician. It was their caller.
Yeah,
she thinks this book is great. And she thinks it's wonderful and open to everything. And, you know, people should be able to learn about anything they want. And I said, I was asking my elementary school. Oh, yeah, whatever they want. I said, well, you can guarantee you won't have my vote. And I'm going to tell everybody I know this is the stance. You're open for learning about anything, you know, as low as grade school, elementary school, kindergarten. I'm like, nah, this is garbage. But they had that in the school that is less than a mile away from my house at the public school. And like, this is bad.
And that's in your backyard.
And then on top of that, the parents got together. They took the book out of the library. Guess what they left? The digital copy. The copy that was the easiest to remove, you just click it and take it out. They physically removed the book, but on the digital online, they left it. And it was there for, you know, weeks after. And then the parent says, hey, what's up with this? You publicly told us you removed this from the library.
Oh, our bad. We forgot. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that story is really good. I mean, there was another super famous one in the state of Virginia as well.
We're in Missouri, for those that don't, like, we're right in the middle of, like,
yeah,
you know, in Virginia. Like, I don't think that's a crazy state. Some of the states are a little crazy in the United States, but, like, crazy has gone throughout the whole country, in my opinion. Not in my opinion, just, like, it's fact.
Yeah, and even before, yeah, crazy, yeah, we could say it that way, but I would even say, There are crazy people everywhere. Of course, there are people with different worldviews than us everywhere. But even before that, it's like school was never the place that we should have been leaving or giving the power to teach our children about sex in the first place. So we can even back it up. Like, hey, like, this should have always been in the home. This, and we're bringing it back to the home. That's what we're doing. That's all that this is.
Yeah, we can't. Well, that's a whole different thing. We can't throw an American flag up in a classroom, but we can have a pride flag. Are you kidding me?
Whole different thing, but you are not wrong. But yeah, and I think, you know, it is interesting. I'm definitely biased, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. But for me, I can't not see how, if you raise your children at an early age, biblically based sex and sexuality, like maybe you don't have as much hard work to do down the road if you start there. I mean, I believe that. I firmly believe that because it is such a foundational component for humanity that the second you get rid of that foundation, you have no foundation and everything else becomes questionable and everything else goes. And so is there, honestly, is there, I'd be curious, is there a better way to raise and protect our children to ensure they remain in the faith, to ensure they do not find themselves unmoored later in life, than to just give them a biblical sexual ethic starting at an early age? Like, I don't think there's a better way. But like I said, I'm biased.
Yeah, I'd say extreme bias there for sure. However, that's certainly one where we do go off the rails as people, as humans. Yeah, I mean, it's at least top three.
There you go. Top three. I'll take it. Top three. Exactly. So either way, it's up there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm we like, cannot let it go. We cannot let somebody else do it.
Yeah, that's pretty high on the list. Like a parent's love and, you know, mm-hmm. and then seeing a parent be faith-based, seeing it in action, seeing, you know, that type thing. But yeah, if you're going to get sidetracked by something, you know, could be doing all the right things. This certainly can be, you know, one of the exit ramps that puts a kid on a detour for a while.
Yeah, and I think, Dan, here's another interesting note. I think parents have gotten to the point where they think that this is such a huge problem to address or a huge topic. And I hope, and that's how we built this course, is that we kind of want to give parents the easy button. Like, hey, this doesn't have to be as complicated as people make it sound. Like, it can be simple. And so that, I mean, that was our posture with sextalk.com. It was, hey, watch 14 videos, 30 minutes long each, with some other really great, cool resources plugged in between. And if you come out the other side, you're going to be like, this is easy. I got this. It's not like, you know, you can't ignore it, but like, you're going to feel confident. We joke that you'll be the sex talk superhero in your house. Like, you'll be good to go. And I think people are scared that it's this massive, massive explosion of a thing that it's just going to, I don't know, wreck shop over the relationship with their children. They're going to harm their children too young. They're going to expose them. They're going to make everything worse. And it's like, what is worse? You telling your 8-year-old child the definition of pornography and how Satan twisted it, or them finding it on their own first?
Right.
You tell me.
Yeah, we've got the ways of the world or we got God's ways.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we hope that parents and listeners will just be like, yeah, this was gave us the easy button, because we spent, you know, a lot of money and flew all over the country getting all these different experts to give us their best gold nuggets. So it's like, we're literally taking all the hard work out of it. And we did that on purpose, because people kept saying, you know, hey, I need stuff for younger and younger kids. And we're like, okay, how do we do this? Well, let's give mom and dad all the answers to all the questions, or I'll say all, but a lot, 99%
yes,
of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah. So one of the things I had was a reservation at first to jump into a course and an opinion, even though it might be biblically based and everything's down the line. Sometimes you get into some courses or some things, and you're like, ooh, here's a topic that I got to kind of cut the edges off, or maybe it's right, but I'm not all in on it quite yet. Like, maybe mm-hmm. I've got to do some learning on whatever it is. But in your course, what I loved is there is somebody from like every Christian denomination. I'm like, I know about that guy. I know about her. I know like the name, like you've got the Hall of Fame across the board of Christian speakers that speak and write about this topic. Like, I'm like, so that was something I told you. I'm like, how did you do this? This is unreal. I don't know that I've seen any collection of Christian, you know, head honchos, if for lack of a better term, in one place.
That was important to us, because we wanted to present like a very ecumenical, truth-based offering. And so, yeah, that was important for us. So, yes,
throw some of the names out there.
Yeah, so like Dr. Christopher West, Matt Frad, Kurt Thompson, Kristen Jensen, So Kristen Jensen wrote Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. It's like the universal understood book for young children on Amazon for like how to begin introducing your children to what a good picture is and what a bad picture is. Brian Laritz, Kent Evans is in there. I don't know. The list goes on. But anyway, so we did that on purpose where, and my hope is every couple of years, we're going to pull a new heavy hitter and add it in as well, where we're going to, you know, there's other guys on our list as well. So we're excited because that's what we did. And I think what helped, Dan, was having spent 8 years in a purity ministry, like I, not only do I know everyone, we all know each other. We all are on the same team. We all get along. But then it was like, okay, well, they have something really good to say. Like Christopher West, he has the best thing to say around the theology of the body. So mm-hmm. why would I go ask anybody else to have that conversation other than him? And then Matt Frad, who obviously has a lot of really, really great things to say about a lot, but like he's one of the best experts on pornography. And yeah. And so like he wrote The Porn Myth and a bunch of other books. And so Matt Frad was like the no brainer. Okay, we're getting Matt Frad to do, you know, the early age of exposure to pornography, how to protect your children from it, and like access to digital devices. Anyway, we went down the list and we were like, okay, we can curate a really great roster of all these people and the best things they've ever said. Dr. Dan Allender, we just got him in. He wasn't even in at the very beginning. We brought him in to do the topic of masturbation, the most hot button topic ever. And then Dr. Dan Allender is doing that one. And so, you know, I don't know. It's cool. God gets all the glory for that course. And we're just excited that, you know, parents will find it that valuable, because we same way we were like, man, these are the coolest heavy hitters. We it's like we got them all in the same room and we said, hey, let's play, and it was just like so fun. So it was really cool.
And what that also reminds me of is, as I started the podcast years ago, it's like I want to get better at certain things. I want to hold myself to a higher standard. In the intro, I talk about the community holding me accountable, and one of my buddies, yeah, I was like, hey, is this what I'm going to put for the intro? Or the outro, whatever it is, I forget nowadays. And he says, no, don't put that in there. Like, you need to be, you know, at a higher level anyway.
Okay.
You can't be in the community. And, you know, I said, no, like, that's part of it. Like, I'm responsible for holding up my end of the bargain. And I'd like guys to be responsible for their end of the bargain, too. We're all trying to get better and, you know, helping each other raise the bar. And with the people that I get to interview, such as yourself, it's like I learn so much and I go back to certain episodes or go back to certain things I learned or relationship with them as I follow them online or, you know, stay in touch over texts or socials or whatever it is. And it's like kind of that journey along the way. So you've got all of these people you've got to interact with. What are a couple of the things that you off the top of your head go back to from time to time? You're like, dude, that was awesome.
Yeah. So that's a really great question. So there's a couple. So Matt Frad has a question and he says, do you know how many digital devices are in your home that access the internet? And if you don't, that should freak you out. And Dr. Dan Allender, I can't say it as elegantly as he says it, but he basically teaches us how to begin talking to our children about, this sounds kind of funny to say out loud, but about erections at an early age without it being shameful or weird in any way and still finding a way to honor God's design, even with an erection, which is like, think about, you know, when was the last time you heard someone say that in a sentence or a conversation?
Right.
But it's so true. There's no reason that that is not ultimately true. God made erections. And when you're like, when your seven-year-old son has an erection, or, you know, pick the age, you can begin talking at the appropriate age around that. And so Dr. Dan Allender crushed that one. Christopher West, Theology of the Body, my favorite snippet from him, I'm giving all the best secrets here, is he takes a piece of paper and he talks about it like a beautiful piece of art, and he crumples it up and he compares that to the naked body and what culture has done, where we said this naked body is dirty and we threw it away. And then he basically picks the paper up and he uncrumples it. And he's like, basically Satan crumples the naked body and makes it dirty, gross, and bad. And we just have this, like, let's throw it away. It must be bad. But then God, who makes everything perfect and made everything perfect, redeems it. And he lays it out, flattens it out. And he says, no, this is good. And this is mine. This is God speaking. So that was Christopher West. I could go on. There are a bunch of really good gold nuggets in there. And then the last one I'll say is Kristen Jensen's. My favorite part from hers is she reiterates the importance, which I already said earlier in the podcast, around giving your children anatomical terms so that you're giving them a defense. And she tells the story of a daughter, I think she was a 7-year-old girl, who was being poked. She says, hey, mommy, I don't like it when Johnny pokes me with his stick.
Yeah.
And she didn't have the definition just to say the word penis. And there's no reason a 7-year-old can't know that word. And right. It would have changed everything. And so I love that about Kristen Jensen's. But yeah, and the list goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes as parents, we feel like we're not equipped, like we're not ready for the conversation, whatever the topic is. And different than our parents and our grandparents, there wasn't as many places or resources or people to ask or experts around or any of that, where nowadays we can just go get it. Mm-hmm. Like the same as, you know, any of the bad stuff that's out there on the internet. With the internet now, there's all the good stuff too, where people have jumped into topics like this and the resources are there. So as parents, we can just go get it. We can just listen to a podcast episode. We can interact with the podcast host. We can interact with the people that he interviews. Like, they're accessible.
Absolutely. I mean, and with great power comes great responsibility. So yeah, I mean, we did make this a digital online course, you know, even though we do have such, you know, problems with the digital online environment. But yes, the nice thing about the accessibility of this video course is that same power is you can use it on any digital device, cast it anywhere you want. You can listen to it while you drive. You don't have to sit down and watch every video. So we have audio only formats in the course. So yeah, no, we did that on purpose. So we're creating a 21st century solution.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love the course. I love that the resources are there. The people that you've brought together are just amazing. I know we'll put the link in the show notes so people can check that out and purchase it if they like.
I was going to say, if they're still here listening, way to go on you, listener. And the Journey 10 is a 10% off coupon code.
So, yeah, that's so cool that you did that for the audience. So
absolutely.
That's great. And then anybody can use it. They don't have to listen to this podcast at all. So yeah, you can share the discount code with other parents you care about as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Have you got a challenge for people, something they can do in between this episode and the next episode? It could be hard, could be easy, but something that helps parents level up.
Oh, I love that question. Yeah. So I would even say a challenge around this topic would be, if you're married, go after listening to this episode and just begin a conversation with your spouse around the sex talk, if you have kids, and say like, hey, how are we doing with this? Hey, you know, what do we, you know, because here's the thing. It's one of those, it's like, you check your oil, you change your oil every so often. This is one of those that gets easily ignored. And I would bet money that if you're listening right now, you haven't done that in the last however many years. So yeah, there's your challenge. If you're married, go do that. If you're single, just how are you doing with your purity, with your sexual integrity? When was the last time you meditated on and processed God's design for sex and sexuality? Because he made it, and he made it beautiful, and he made it good, and he made it for a reason. And I just think we get easily into, it's all dirty, it's all bad, it's all dark, and it's all gross. And I don't know, I find a lot of life, I enjoy remembering often that, like, no, God made it. He looked at it in all of its glory, and he said, it's good. This is good. And that is just worth sitting on for a bit.
Yeah, I agree. One final question for you. So love the challenge. And I would even say, if you don't have kids, it's still worth having the conversation, because absolutely, you're going to need to address it at some point anyway. Might as well get started. And then that can open up more intimate conversations with your wife, just at a different level. Maybe not in a direct way where you're challenging or anything. This is a learning expedition for our future, because we're going to have kids. Mm-hmm. And then you may end up learning some things that help your marriage anyway now, mm-hmm, versus down the road. What do you see with the couples that do have that loving, devoted marriage where porn isn't in their marriage, that they turn towards each other and devote their sexual energy to each other. What are the kind of fruits of that? What are the results?
I mean, other than just vitality in life, I would say fulfillment, contentment, fun, play. It is not right to say that they will not experience adversity, because we live in this world, and this world you will experience trials. You will experience tribulation. However, if you have and keep the marriage bed pure, you are building a foundation and unifying with your wife in such a way that allows you to more easily overcome adversity in your world. And yeah, I mean, we could do a whole separate podcast around the things that are negative that creep in if that's not the case. But yeah, I can say that I can count, you know, on just a quick list right now, you know, the couples I know that have made a commitment to that, they are flourishing. And the coolest stories are the ones that do that. And then you see the legacy and their, when they become grandparents, and you may have a reality where you can't have children. This does not in any way mean you're going to have children. What I mean is that truth, goodness, and beauty will flourish in, through, and around you by God's glory. And this is just a major component of allowing him to have that canvas to paint on.
Yeah, if you want to see an example of it, check out YouTube, anything with John David Mann and his wife, Anna. They've got The Go-Giver Marriage. He wrote The Go-Giver, and then she also wrote The Go-Giver Marriage with him. And to see that couple go back and forth and just how they love and adore each other, like, that's just a fantastic example of, you know, that's what it looks like as you get older and you grow closer together over time. Use the word fun, play. I'll add the word intimate or connected.
Absolutely.
So when you know, go move towards your wife, love, honor, cherish, your marriage flourishes and it gets better. And when you read the studies and you, this is me quoting studies, you're the one that's all in this. When you read the studies, it's like you have a better sex life the older you get and the longer you're married, if you're pouring into each other and living in a Christian marriage as opposed to other ways of doing it. So for those that say everything else is better, everything else is more exciting, great. Let's look at that. What does that really mean? Let's check out the real studies that actually have some substance and, you know, non-biases and stuff baked into it. Like God's way is the right way. And it's the best way, and it's the most fun way, and it's the most exciting way, and it's the most, you know, help build a long-lasting legacy and generational benefits and blessings. And it's God's way, not the ways of the world. We've seen what the ways of the world are doing, and they're bringing books like the one Nick and I talked about to kindergartners. God's way doesn't do that. God's way brings all the blessings, the fruits of the Spirit, and I implore you guys to fight the good fight. This one's worth fighting for. And your kids are worth fighting for. Dive into the sex talk, become comfortable with it so that you can engage these conversations, plural, multiple, over and over and over. So keep pouring into your kids and you'll receive blessings for years to come.
Amen. Couldn't say better. Said it better, Dan. Thank you.
You bet. Absolutely. Well, thanks for putting all this together. Proven Ministries, thesextalk.com. I'll throw the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time. What a great challenge that you threw out for the men. And guys, keep sharing the show. Keep rating and reviewing it. Send me anything you want. Always glad to take your feedback. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Journey of a Christian Dad podcast. Thank you guys for being a light. Shine that light out and let others see it. With you guys part of this community, it helps me be accountable to you guys. It helps me be accountable to myself, be accountable to God and Jesus. I hope you appreciated this episode and picked up some great things. Hope you like the challenge and hope you can execute on that challenge this week. I ask of you, please subscribe, share the show with others. Join us inside of the Journey of a Christian Dad on Facebook, inside our private community. Share that community with others. Have your buddies join. Have other dads that are looking to grow in their faith, grow as spiritual leaders of their family. As we engage in our journey and be intentional with it, we can help others grow theirs as well. We thank you again for listening. We thank you for all your reviews. Look forward to reading a review of yours on a future show. So, dear God, thanks for blessing all of us, and thanks for drawing us closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have fun, guys.